Yeah, I.
Thank you. Okay, in regards to emotional intelligence.
Yeah, I would redefine it as biblical emotional maturity. I think it's a better way of looking at it. Because then you can really wrap some scriptures around it. And I just heard that emotional intelligence. Jordan Peterson. You know the name? Well, he's an intellect. He's not a Christian, but he's widely renowned as an author and a teacher, and a lot of, especially young men, look up to him. He does teach some stuff about Old Testament and chaos and 12 principles about, you know, how to be a man. But he's the Lord's drawn him in his direction. He's in my prayers. Eventually he'll find his path to the Lord. Anyway, I apologize if I jumped all over that emotional intelligence thing too soon.
Yeah, and I think here we use the term for lack of better. I think we're just it's just a common.
Yeah.
I think it's a more.
It's kind of hard for people.
I think the emotional intelligence, you know, we need to understand the right definition of it.
Yeah.
And I think because, for example, it's like sometimes we refer to like homosexual couples who are married as, you know, a married couple. In fact, they're not really married because that's not the definition of marriage.
Yeah.
And so when we look at, so when we say, oh, they're married, we're just using for lack of a better to give better context.
Yeah.
So I think that's what.
Yeah.
I think that's what happens when we use emotional intelligence.
Yeah. It's always err on the side of caution, define our terms.
Yeah.
You know, emotional intelligence, marriage. You know, society defines marriage in a civil context, right? And they recently enacted laws.
Right.
But if you go back to what real marriage is, it's in this book.
Right.
And it's what God ordained between one man and one woman.
Right.
Everybody really knows that.
Yeah. They just know that. Yeah.
It's kind of interesting the way that's worded in the Bible. It said they were marrying and giving in marriage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even just because they were giving, they're doing it, but they're mocking God's most sacred institution.
Yeah.
And it just cannot be recognized. Let's go ahead and pray in. Even though we're running late, we'll kind of unofficially start. Lord, thank you for this time, and thank you for this class, and just, you know, all the issues that are in this room, Father. You just, I'll pray you. Fill this place with your Holy Spirit, God, and you be the teacher, and just use us as instruments of your love and your compassion and your mercy. And we just thank you for who you are. And just bless this time now. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're starting on chapter 6, I believe, page 61. Is that correct?
Sounds good. That's where I thought we were going to be.
I think I finally got it right for a change.
I forgot my book.
Yeah,
There's one.
I knew that. I've been here long enough to know it.
Well, we got a pretty
Trudy, I read this too. This is very good.
Yeah, okay.
I did too. I thought about trying to go through it today, but I forgot to bring mine.
I got another one, so I don't forget. For Patrick only.
There's one thing that really resonated with me. Let's take a second to look at this. Is this the same one? Well, this is different.
Different, but for you, that's just for you and your wife.
Okay, great.
Susan.
Okay, we'll do that another time. Wait.
Yeah.
Here, I got it. Wisdom and hearing, speaking and anger. And we'll just go over this real quick. And this is from James 1:19-20. And it's a very famous passage for anger management, if you will. But it goes a lot deeper. You kind of unpack the scripture. There's a lot in there that you wouldn't really pick up on right off the top. Know this, okay? Know this, my beloved brethren, that we're loved and we're brothers, and he wants us to know this. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And as we're learning through this class, anger is a God-given emotion that we have, and it can be productive and used. But good and angry, as opposed to bad and angry, or I like righteous anger, being angry about the right things at the right time in the right degree, But at the look at the last paragraph there. We'll just go over that real quick. Second, James exhorts us to be slow to anger, not to never get angry. Mm-hmm. So slow to anger. So that means that it starts building, and you don't just immediately jump on it like I have a tendency to do sometimes. Okay, I'm getting uncomfortable here. I don't like the way things are going, according to my perception. Mm-hmm. And then then I would think the best thing at that point would be to pray and ask for guidance and discretion. And I like to say, engage your brain before you open your mouth and think about what you're going to say. And again, he exhorts us. Now, what does it mean to exhort someone?
To encourage?
Strongly encourage someone. To be slow to anger, not to never get angry. That's kind of what resonated with me. It is possible, of course, to be angry in a righteous manner, to be angry at evil, and not to sin in this anger. Hello, come on in. Yet this is exceptionally difficult. Welcome. Welcome, you brought a guest.
Yes, I've lost a guest and a wife, but whatever.
Well, your wife was actually looking for you.
Yes, this is our friend Dick.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, well, nice to meet you.
18 degrees below zero.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
24 wind chill factor below.
So he has a right to be angry.
So maybe we should turn on the air conditioner to
make me feel at home.
Yeah.
You can grab a book behind you there.
Okay.
Welcome to paradise.
We feel like we died and went to heaven, especially at this church.
We're on a little rabbit trail
just
right
wait,
now.
Wait until you pay the taxes.
But we'll be going to the book very quickly.
So, Patrick, when we say slow to anger, is that talking about secular anger versus righteous anger? Is it talking about when we start to get angry, do we just let it ramp up? Or do we hold our thought captive and really evaluate?
There you go. I think, we're doing this from a biblical perspective. So that's a good example to direct the anger in the right way. Okay.
I think when I think of slow to anger, I think it means like I just read something in the book, the first chapter, where he was talking about the story about he's laying on the couch and he's reading this magazine. And the wife's like, oh, I wish I could get some help around here or something. Mm.
Yeah.
And his initial response was anger. You know, that's the first thing, you know. So when I think of slow to anger, it's like, you know, is anger the first emotion that you are triggered by in a situation? Yeah. And I think it requires a lot of discernment, maturity, wisdom to, in that moment, say, hold up.
That moment is very pivotal, that you recognize at that very moment, I'm getting angry here.
Yeah.
And then I like to say, what is the Bible? He's a very present help in time of trouble. You can immediately employ the help of the Holy Spirit in order to, we teach secular anger management, my wife and I, and there's a whole chapter on respond instead of react. Mm-hmm. Be responsive as opposed to reactionary to what the person is saying or doing. So often our anger is controlled by our mixed with our sin. Andrew just touched on that. So I'm angry kind of in a righteous way maybe, but also in a sinful kind of a way. So there's kind of a double thing there. Because of this, our anger really produces righteousness, the kind of behavior that pleases God. And that's another thing to remember. When I get angry, I'm displeasing God. I'm sinning against God. Mm-hmm. Not to mention this person also. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's switch gears and get back into chapter 6. Nature. There's a pad going around. If everybody could sign it, I'd appreciate it. Nature, nurture, and human nature. We have seen that anger is a moral response saying, that's wrong and it matters. We have seen that you do anger, all of you, body and soul. And if you do it for personal reasons, but how does it arise and what factors shape the particular form it takes? So what would be some reasons that would cause anger to arise or make you angry? What are some things that make you angry?
Not getting our own way. Pride gets in the way.
I think that's the number one right there. Anybody else?
Opposite opinions. I know for myself, I had a friend like for about almost 50 years, and because of political differences, I mean, personally, I had a lot of anger, well up, and because of that difference of opinion, that made me angry.
Based on your perception, that's perception, I'm big on that word perception, because it's our view, and not necessarily anybody else's, that make us angry.
I think just due to our fallen nature in our flesh, we're inclined to anger. It's something we have to hold our thought captive and recognize any given situation, what's the biblical approach to dealing with that situation. Whether it's a political disagreement or spouse wants us to do something when we're laying on the couch.
I think you've hit on something there, Joe. You know, one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. And I think self-control is really big in dealing with anger. Mm-hmm. You know, stepping back. But that really takes a lot.
Yeah.
At least for me, you know, to step back and then, you know, and have that self-control and then not react. Because anger is a very reactive type of emotion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, I refer to our secular anger management, which I've been teaching for 10 years. And there's a lot of good secular stuff that can be employed. And I was pretty near online about that before, but I think there's stuff in there that kind of, I like to say, get you into the ballpark, to kind of get in the right frame of mind about what's going on.
You know, it's not only is it a fruit of the Spirit, but Peter teaches in 2 Peter chapter 1 that it's one of those virtues that God grants to believers, and we're called to diligently pursue those virtues, and that's part of self-control. We want those virtues, we want that character, we want to build up to the Philadelphia brotherly love and ultimately the agape love that God had for his son Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I don't think we'll see that in ourselves on this side of heaven. Mm-hmm. But that's our goal, is to be transformed and be more Christ-like.
Where is that verse at, by the way?
It's in 2 Peter 1, 3 through 15, or 3 through 8, depending on how you look at the pericope.
The one, taking every thought captive?
Oh, no, that's a different one.
Which one is that at?
I don't have that at the top of my head.
Anybody know where that verse is? Taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
I'm thinking it's in either Romans or one of the Corinthians.
Okay, we can look that up later. Hello, welcome.
Sorry, really, how you doing? Don't be angry.
Don't be angry.
There's another chair in the corner over there. If you want.
There's one right here.
Yeah, I just
wanted
to.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Yes.
And would you pass that sign in? I'm a real stickler about getting everybody's name on there. So you can get credit. Spiritual credit. And welcome to the group. Okay, and we're on page, there's a book there you can use. There's a couple extra books.
2 Corinthians 10:5.
Okay, that's it. That is such a wonderful scripture, and it applies to so many different aspects of our life. Why don't you read that, Joe, please?
Take every thought captive is a biblical instruction from 2 Corinthians 10:5, meaning to actively challenge, capture, and make your thoughts obedient to Christ by comparing them to God's truth, effectively rooting out negativity and renewing your mind for a more godly life.
Wow.
I think that was a paraphrase.
That's a good one. I like that. Yeah. Okay, good. Okay, so anger is natural. Let's look at that, the second paragraph there on page 61. I don't remember much from fourth grade. Does anybody remember much from the fourth grade?
Hmm. Yeah, I do. I had a teacher with a paddle. I was hanging behind his desk.
I got my wrist slapped with a ruler a few times.
Mrs. Norton.
Mr. Jones. Yeah.
They can't do that now.
No,
seen.
You can't.
You get arrested.
But the Bible says, spoil the rods, spare the rod and spoil the child. So, but it should be discipline administered in love, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of it administered in angry outbursts. Okay, I don't remember much from the fourth grade, but I do remember Leanne. She was a fiery little girl. She could be imperious and opinionated, giving teachers fits and wearing out her best friends. When something or someone crossed her will, you knew about it. The toss of her head, the fire in her eyes, the quick comeback, the heels dug in for a fight to the finish with no quarter asked and no quarter given. I can get a good mental picture of that. And this is a fourth grader, but I think a lot of adults take that same stance. Mm-hmm. But Leanne could also be a heroine. One day on the playground after lunch, I was a bystander to her moral outrage. Top of page 62. Mark was another classmate, a small fourth grader. He was an awkward, shy kid who was often teased. This afternoon, he was being picked on by three big fifth grade boys. The bullies had trapped him in a ring and were shoving him around. When he started to whimper, they began to mock him and sing songs. Marky is a baby, cry like a baby. Marky is a baby, cry like a baby. You've all heard that. Kids can be so cruel. They really, really can. Suddenly, Leanne ran up to them. She was smaller even than Mark, but she broke right into the ring, stood up to the bullies, and started berating them. You stop that. It's wrong. You're just being mean. You should be ashamed. Look how big you are. Look how little Mark is. Look at how many of you there are and only one Mark. Go pick on somebody your own size. You should tell them you're sorry for what you did. She made quite a scene. She was mad. It was the perfect combination of courage, love, and outrage. The rest of us kids started to gather around. Instead of hanging back in apprehension, the bullies stopped. They glanced sideways at the gathered crowd and looked down at the ground. Then they edged away, scuffing the dirt with their feet and shrugging. Leanne had won the day. Mark had been rescued from their torment. Now, does this sound like a legitimate scenario? Any comments on that?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very simple terms, like a little kid illustration of how we feel when we see an injustice. Mm-hmm. The anger that we get when we see a wrong being done to somebody.
And that's righteous anger. That's the essence of this course. Very good.
Well, I just think of how angry somebody would be if it took 10 years to get justice. You know what I mean? Then look at these court cases where it takes years for somebody to be convicted of a crime.
Yeah.
That's what I think about.
That's a good point. I haven't worked in the state prison, so I know guys have been done 20, 25, 30 years. Oh, we made a mistake. You're innocent.
Yeah.
And they get released, so you just you never can tell. Yeah. But sometimes a very small, bold person can really kind of take everybody down. And
you see this example, this is a fourth grade example, you see it really start to come alive in middle school, where the people try to climb that social ladder by picking on one another, bullying them, calling them names,
right.
One-upsmanship, to climb that social ladder. And if they don't find Christ, they continue down that road.
Mm-hmm.
You see adults today an example might be in social media, Facebook, for example, thumbs up, heart, just trying to to like other people or raise yourself up in that sort of a area.
That's an interesting point, too, because I kind of weaned myself off of Facebook lately because I was on there probably too much. But somebody will say something that's just totally wrong, sinful, outrageous, and all these people like it and agree with it and compliment them on what they've just said. And that's just kind of what I think it's in Isaiah. They're going to put evil for good and good for evil. They're going to put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And that's exactly what we see happening in this world. Okay, nobody told Leanne to have a keen sense of justice. I bet she hardly thought about what she did. She simply saw an unfair, mean thing going on, and her anger carried her into action. It was an act of temper, spontaneous, loving, and good. Because she had the best interest of that small child at heart. That was her main motivating factor to do that. On behalf of someone who was being harmed, it came naturally. Now, I know in today's world, you can see some injustice maybe happening on the street, somebody bullying somebody or a couple arguing and it's getting really escalated. I'm reluctant to jump in because nowadays you just don't know. There's a lot of cases where both of them will turn on you, you know, because they suddenly have an allegiance to a higher purpose. Any comments on that?
When I read that, I thought it came naturally, but a lot of things seem to come naturally, but I think they've been modeled by maybe the parents at some point.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, not that I don't think that anybody can have some righteousness apart from
A good point, yeah.
Parental involvement, but I think that that puts the onus on us, older people, to stand up and be an example for younger people.
Yeah.
Not that she couldn't have just done this naturally out of her own person. That could very well be, but I'm just, that's what it brought me to, is
And I was raised in that kind of environment. My parents, you know, I was raised in the church. And they taught us that, you know, between right and wrong, and we had that conscience, and we knew, you know, this in Romans 2, that, you know, we know when we're crossing that line. But what if you continue to try to snuff out that conscience, what happens?
Right.
I think it's in Timothy.
Yeah.
God gives you over.
Gives you over, yeah.
And you have no conscience.
Right.
And somebody, nowadays, somebody can be absolutely dead wrong, and they're absolutely convinced it is the truth.
Right.
Even though it's a horrendous life in a pit of hell.
Yeah, and that's what you see with social media going. I mean, I'm not a part of all of that, but I just know that that's where that can come from too. You know, the good is not modeled. Oftentimes, it's the wicked hearts are modeled.
Right.
And so, that's the only thought I had about Leanne.
A lot of times when I see the word naturally, hear the word naturally, and it depends on context, but oftentimes I'm drawn to thinking about natural man, our fallen, sinful nature.
Sure. That's the natural, I agree. Yeah.
And then, and the only way through that is, or out of that, is through salvation through Christ alone.
Right.
Hear the word, believe.
A comment on social media. There was our former pastor had a book club, and we read a book written by the chief of the psychiatric department at Stanford. And he talked about the anonymity. There were all these new issues because of the internet, the anonymity of the internet. And it seems like, I don't do Facebook, so I'm doing any social media at all. I think that was a huge warning sign to me. But we had a niece that was so hooked into this stuff that I remember taking her cell phone away from her at a meal. And I thought, I'm dealing with somebody who's drug addicted. I mean, that was the response, seriously. But she would, you know, she was so caught up in this. She would send pictures of herself brushing her teeth, combing her hair, to people, and they would respond to these things. And I'm going, the internet can be a tool, because for good or bad,
But how exasperated can people get, you know, when they're buying into this, these likes, dislikes, and all this right. stuff? It's all anonymous. And it's almost like there's a whole depth that this author was saying they've never seen before in personality issues that they were dealing with. Mm-hmm. And it's something to be extremely aware of and dealing with. And especially, I think, we were talking about we as older generations, we don't understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, we just really don't have a clue. And I think the point I'm trying to make is that this is now this like, dislike, this social climate, the middle school mentality on steroids to me. Because you,
well said, yes.
You know, it's just who knows what these kids mm-hmm. down the road, mm-hmm. what they're going to be facing with as yeah. far as their personalities, for their issues and things like that.
Yeah.
Because of these.
Ecclesiastes, nothing new under the sun. Vanity upon vanity. Mm-hmm. The social media thing, I don't want to allow the world to take that away from Christians. I think we need to have a voice to the world. I use it personally, but I do Bible verses. I do devotionals. I very rarely will do anything that's personalized. But I don't want the world to commandeer any sort of platform that we might be able to use for God's glory.
Right, and I agree with that totally. I'm thinking still on my same train of thought. We need, as people and friends and families that know one another, we need to be proactive in modeling Christ-like behavior
yes,
to our children and our children's friends,
yeah.
to the kids around the neighborhood that we don't know what their mm-hmm. influences are. So it's just Christ shining through us that we need to put into action.
Amen.
Even though we're not the ones that are activating it. So.
Yeah, and even in the context of something like Facebook, where there's so much negative stuff in there, mm-hmm. we still need that positive stuff put in there. Oh yeah, well here's an alternative to that.
Yeah.
And only God can touch a heart yeah. to let them see and appreciate and believe that, you know. Yeah. So.
Well, you look across the Christendom, and most churches have a Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
they have a YouTube channel,
exactly.
They have a social media presence.
Mm-hmm.
So we should cultivate that for God's glory in whatever way, shape, or form He leads us to do. Not for our own benefit, but for
His. No, nothing right. If the tool is used for good.
Yeah.
But it's a minefield, too. It's a Satan's snare.
Yeah.
Especially for men, there's a lot of lustful things that our eyes are going to encounter. Women, too. It's not just men, but we have to be very cautious, and we need accountability for all that.
Yeah, it's technology, just like any other technology. It's not the technology that's bad, it's the human.
Sure.
Being that's, you know, it's, and I'm sure, I'm personally anti-social media, so I don't get on there myself, but I'm sure there's, I don't know what the percentage is, but there maybe 10% is good, 90% is, and according to what I hear, but getting back to Leanne here, what came to my mind was that. The example of Jesus when he went into the temple and he overthrew the taxpayers or tax collectors' mm-hmm. Tables.
Mm-hmm. That was the money changers.
Money changers.
Yeah, it was the money changers. Yeah. They were exchanged. The,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That for
right.
pigeons.
And yeah.
Right. Zacchaeus.
And
it works. Yeah.
And I think that's an example of righteous anger. And he was really sticking up for God the Father,
the use of the temple,
where they were making, they were, what should I say, they were not respectful of God's things at that point, and he got mad at them, angry at that, at the, money changers, like you were saying, I think maybe that might be an example of kind of like Leanne. It's not apples for apples, but she, these bullies were making fun of this younger guy and smaller guy, and she went in and to protect him and was angry at them, I think, right? Because,
correct,
you know, it's kind of like a righteous anger, I think. For like Leanne was here.
Yeah, I think that is a good example of righteous anger. What she,
And
she didn't really think about it too much. It was like an impulse. She just jumped in there and did the right thing. You know.
Yeah.
And I think the Holy Spirit can kick in and activate us to do things like that when we normally wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Christian behavior in shoe leather. That's what I remember hearing as a young Christian. You know, doing what you believe to be true and acting out according to Jesus' example is Christianity in shoe leather.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah,
face to face, person to person, walking about. So all this digital stuff just I'm not there.
You might be better off.
I encourage people to get to know their neighbors as best they can, because that's been such a blessing to us, to feel like we have a community around us that we can speak honestly to.
Right.
And eyeball to eyeball, that's rare now. Am I right?
Very. And you build up that trust. I mean, that's really
that
trust with your neighbors. I mean, two of our neighbors have the keys to our house. And it took a while, and we have keys to their house.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's that building that trust. They're not believers, but, you know, this is a witness that we can be that to our neighbors. And if there's opportunities in their lives that they're hurting or anything like that, we are there to do what we can and to say we did this because not only we love you, but the Lord loves you as well through us. It's not us in a sense, but it's that building that trust. And that's, to us, that was a huge step, you know, of going both ways. You can walk into our house if there's a problem, and we can walk into your house if there's a problem.
That's a good thing, yeah. Somebody said, if you're accused of being a Christian, would it be enough evidence to convict you?
Mm-hmm.
You think about all your neighbors, and especially getting outside of your social media and interacting in person like this right here. This is not too often that people actually get together and talk. But I want to share a scripture real quick. Psalm 101. Verse 2, let's go 1, 2, and 3. I will sing mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Okay, this one. I will do wisely in a perfect way till thou comest to me. I will walk in the uprightness of my heart in the midst of my house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in your house, what do you got? You got a screen. So that's part of in your house. That's part of who you experience and who you are and what you do. And then it goes on to say, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That covers everything. And what is the predominant thing today? Screens.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you look, somebody's looking at a screen.
Yeah.
But he's got a good screen over there.
So. Even in the car, it doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got glasses on and I can watch.
I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that fall away. It shall not cleave unto me.
Mm.
Now, we have some favorite shows that we like to watch, and they're not serving the Lord. I always excuse it by, well, I'm learning to minister to those people better. And that might be kind of lame. I don't know. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil.
Mm-hmm.
Mine eyes shall be into the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. That's the Lord speaking. There shall no deceitful person dwell within my house. Now, does that include a deceitful person on a screen dwelling in your house? I kind of modernized this, and to me there is an application there. He that tells lies shall not remain in my sight.
Mm-hmm.
One more. Betimes, you guys know that word, if you don't hear that. Betimes, what does that mean?
Sometimes,
yeah. Betimes.
You know it.
Will I destroy all the wicked of the land that I may cut off all the workers of iniquity from the city of the Lord. I think that's a specific reference to Jerusalem, is that? But a time he will destroy all the wicked of the land and cut off the workers of iniquity. That day's coming. Even so, come quick, Lord Jesus. You know, because we live in the midst of a perverse and degenerate world, as whom we are to shine as lights. And we're not supposed to blend in, we're supposed to stick out. Man, those Christians, they're the guys that are causing all the trouble. We need to silence those people. And that's what they're trying to do, more so even in America right now. About those guys attacking that church. Did you guys keep keeping up with that? All those protesters went in that church and started protesting.
Last week, yes.
Don Lemon and his gang.
Yeah.
We won't get up into too much politics there, but there's a lot of crazy stuff going on there. Okay, we got a few more minutes. Let's go ahead and I guess kind of open up if anybody's got any questions, comments, or observations. I do. Does anybody else? We're all horned in here with my stuff. we've talked about extending this class, which I think February 20th is the last official day of this class. Are people still interested in doing that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We get a show of hands.
What do you mean extending?
Yeah,
we're going to continue the class, but we're going to go into this book, The Cure for Unjust Anger. And it's by John Del Nami. Yeah, this is all new to you, so. And this is like 16th century stuff.
This is your Puritan guy.
This is your Puritan guy. I just love
his,
it.
His favorite.
But and also, Pastor has offered us the use of the conference room. The one next to the pastor's office with all the really nice chairs and the really big nice round table.
The former nursery.
Old nursery.
Couch. Yes. Yeah, a couch.
Therapy, right?
Yeah. All in the name of therapy. Yeah. We can sit there and pontificate.
Well, I think
so
that
is everybody on board with that?
Yeah, it'd be closer to get to.
Okay, now here's the downside, and it just Lord kind of spoke to me about this morning. I got this piece of paper right here. I don't know if you guys got access to that. We're in the second trimester now. December 7th through February 22nd. So that's fast approaching. And so trimester 3, spring, March 1st to May 31st. And the meetings that we would be missing are Sanctuary, Following Jesus, the Gospel of Mark. That's a video teaching facilitated by Brad Tidwell.
Mm-hmm. That's and also then, on Wednesday night at the Credence.
Oh, okay.
Same study.
And room 204, Psalms and Beyond, Why Poetry Matters. This is a panel discussion with New Life writers, Diane, Dave, Trish, John, and Lord. I'm sorry?
Was that the, I'm sorry.
These are coming up for the third trimester.
Okay, yeah.
Is this going on already? Or?
No, I misspoke.
Okay. So, and finally, Thinking Christianity About Raising Children. So, your presence would be sadly lacking from those classes. And that's, I don't want to be stealing sheep, if you will.
I don't think this group would be.
I don't think we're sheep.
Well, I would just say I'm here because of this book, and we're sort of missing part
we
of that.
We still got a ways to go in this book, but I'm not going to quit in this book. We're
the book that you put forward there is sort of a parallel or an earlier version,
right.
You know, from the Puritan point of view of this topic.
But we would finish this book because we're not even halfway through this.
Okay, we'll finish this book and then go on.
And
to
then
that
go
book.
On from there, Lord
okay.
willing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sounds
and,
good.
And the creek don't right. rise. Okay, so everybody's on board with that.
Yes.
Okay, sounds good. So we'll probably. I'm thinking we'll wait and move into that room when this class officially ends.
Okay.
Not until February, 20 whatever.
Correct.
Okay.
Although it sure would be nice and comfortable in there. Let's
it
tough
took
it out.
Long enough time to find this room.
At least we're not way down like we were before.
Know when you're making the change.
Let's tough it out in here for a few more weeks. That's great. Let's pray real quick. Lord, thank you for this time and thank you for these people. And we do want to glorify you. And we want to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Mm-hmm. And this is certainly good, strong, meaty, biblical stuff to renew our minds. So thank you for this group, and just let it go where you want it to go. And we love and honor, we thank you, and we ask it in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
On the stroke of noon.
Okay.
You want to pop that off over there, Andrew?
Oh, yeah.
Good group, guys. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pastor.
Same time, same channel next week.
Stop, teach.